This is Faster, a podcast by Flow Cycling. In each episode, we interview industry experts to educate you, challenge you, and even change the way you train so you become faster.
Welcome back to Faster. I'm your host, John Thornham. I just finished a podcast all about testosterone with Mike Mahler. Mike has a company called Mahler's Aggressive Strength, and he has a supplementation product that allows you to increase testosterone naturally. A lot of the TRT clinics or anabolic steroids that you're going to find out there are going to have long-term negative effects, and especially if you're younger, going to a TRT clinic too soon can actually decrease or limit your production in the future, which is definitely a negative thing. As athletes, obviously, we want to have good testosterone, and as an endurance athlete, you are depleting your testosterone as you ride long distances. So something to take into consideration, obviously wanting to avoid all doping rules, which Mike's products do. So if you want to hear a masterclass on testosterone and learn how to get faster, check out this episode, and we're sure you're going to love it.
When we're not creating this podcast, we're working on other ways to make you faster. At Flow, we design and manufacture some of the world's fastest cycling wheels that we sell consumer direct to keep more money in your pockets. As a special thank you for listening to Faster, we wanted to offer you 20% off your next purchase. Simply use coupon code PODCAST in all capital letters at checkout. Your purchase will also support our give back initiatives. 1% of all sales supports our Bike for a Kid program, where we provide bikes and helmets for kids in need. We also plant one tree for every wheel we ship as a thank you to our planet. Enjoy the show.
Mike Mahler, welcome to Faster. How you doing?
Thank you. I'm doing great. How are you doing, John?
Doing great. I just had a podcast recently with Dr. Kyle Booth again, and your name came up. And so we got into contact, and you're here to have the conversation about testosterone, which I'm super excited about. We have not really had a testosterone expert on the show before. And this is something we definitely want to chat about. The thing that I know about testosterone for the most part is that in cycling, there's a lot of issues around doping and things like that. And one of the things I've always been interested in is the concept of increasing your own testosterone naturally and in good ways. And I just kind of want to get a little bit about you first, your name, like what your story is, your background, and then how you ended up getting into Mahler's Aggressive Strength, which is your company that deals with testosterone.
Yeah, sure. Well, I've been in the fitness industry since 2002. I was one of the early pioneers of the modern day kettlebell training movement. So that intrigued me back then. I got in, and that was my primary business focus for a long time, well over a decade. I produced videos. This shows you how far back I started. I actually produced DVDs. People actually bought DVDs back then. You know, yeah. I made 10 DVDs. You could actually make money selling DVDs. Amazing concept. You could actually make money selling information products. That was amazing. No one can make money selling information anymore. I won't go into that segue. But I started off just teaching seminars all over the US, and then I started teaching seminars all over the world. I went to Dubai, I went to Australia, I went all over Europe, and it was incredible. It was an incredible experience. And kettlebell training at that time was in its infancy, so it was something where you could actually charge pretty good amounts of money to get someone to come spend a day or a weekend with you teaching these courses. Now kettlebells are very ubiquitous. You see kettlebells in every gym across the country. So now teaching a kettlebell seminar would be the equivalent of trying to teach a dumbbell seminar. You're just not going to get a high level turnout. But kettlebells was my gateway into the fitness industry, because I've always had a really strong, not always, but since I was 18, I've always had a very strong interest in fitness, how to get stronger, how to increase performance. I've always been really intrigued by even supplements back then. Some of your listeners who are my age, 50, may remember some of these atrocious products that came out back then, such as Cybergenics and Hot Stuff, that were heavily marketed. Right? 90% of the focus was marketing. And back then, no one made any supplements that worked. That was just an afterthought. It was all about how to get as many first-time buyers as possible. The supplement industry hasn't changed too much since then, but at least now there's stuff that actually is effective. You just have to find it. So I've always been really intrigued in physical performance, how to improve your physique through training, how to get stronger, and then also how to use supplementation to improve that. Mm-hmm. So after 10 years of kettlebell training, during that journey, I was going through a lot of stress, and I had symptoms of low testosterone, just low sex drive. My energy was off. I just wasn't feeling as confident as I normally felt. So I went and got tested. I didn't have low testosterone on the range, but I had levels that weren't optimal for me. And that's an important caveat, because if one of your listeners goes and gets testosterone measured, if you fall within what's considered the normal range, which it varies with each test, but most tests is going to be for total testosterone between 300 and 1200. Now that's a huge range, 300 and 1200. That's a 900 point range. Now, so if you go in and you're at 305, a doctor will say, oh yeah, you're in the normal range, so you're fine. But what if you need to be at 700, 800, 900 to feel your best?
Yeah.
Doesn't take that into account at all. So that's the problem that a lot of people deal with, is they get a lot of bad advice. We'll get to that in a little bit. But I was just experiencing, I got really into hormone optimization because I realized how profoundly important this is for improving physical performance. And no one was really talking about it that much in the fitness community. Only one person was really putting out good information, Charles Poliquin. I'm not sure if you're familiar with him. He was one of the best strength coaches to ever do it. Unfortunately, he passed in 2018, but he was one of my mentors and just ridiculously knowledgeable guy. And he was writing about and lecturing on the importance of hormones. And he even had a whole course where he could measure your hormone levels by just looking at where you store body fat. So if you store a lot of body fat in your lower body, that means you're converting a lot of testosterone to estrogen. And this is probably something you've noticed, is that more and more men have high levels of lower body fat. Now, you may not have noticed this. I noticed this because I'm not out there checking out guys, but I'm out there checking out people. And every time I look at people, it's just an occupational hazard. I look at where they store body fat, and you can tell a lot about someone's hormone profile just from that. So if you're a man or a woman and you have a lot of lower body fat, that's because you're converting way too much testosterone to estrogen, stomach fat as well, and then pectoral fat. So that's why the scientific term bitch tits, it's called gyno, actually, the scientific term. But we see this kind of thing a lot. You know, like my wife and I like to do staycations in Vegas. And we go to the places like the Venetian, go to the pool, lounge out, have a good time. And just looking around, you can see visible testosterone deficiency and estrogen dominance. So estrogen dominance is higher now than it's ever been in human history. It's like men have never looked like they way do now.
What is the link between low testosterone and estrogen dominance? Is if you have low testosterone, does estrogen start to take over, or how does that work?
What happens is that estrogen is made from testosterone in both men and women. You know, testosterone is not a male hormone any more than estrogen is a female hormone, because both genders produce it. The difference is that men have much higher testosterone levels and much lower estrogen levels, ideally, while women have much higher estrogen levels and much lower testosterone levels, ideally. That's the difference there. Now, what can happen with estrogen dominance is that you're converting way too much testosterone into estrogen, because there's an enzyme called aromatase. The more body fat you have, the more aromatase you produce. And aromatase converts testosterone into estrogen. And this is becoming more, and now there's many reasons why this happens. Environmental toxins and pollutants is a big one. The food supply quality is lower now than it's ever been. So we are just bombarded with toxins that are a large part unavoidable. I mean, you can't avoid any, there's only so much you can avoid. There's only so many things you can block out. So that's why you have to take measures to make your liver clear out as many of these toxins as possible, so you can mitigate the damage with it. Now, the estrogen dominance is so prolific now. And another big reason why a lot of men convert testosterone to estrogen is stress. There's really two things that deplete testosterone levels. One is high levels of stress, especially personal life stress and financial stress. And there's not too many people that are not under a lot of financial stress right now, unfortunately. And personal life stress is, you know, if you have financial stress, that creates personal life stress too. It affects your relationships. It affects every other facet of your life. So when you're dealing with a high level of stress, you're producing a lot of cortisol, and cortisol just obliterates your testosterone. And now your estrogen levels just starts accelerating. I mean, it's a vicious cycle that makes things way worse. So that's why when men get levels of testosterone measured, it's also important to get estrogen measured, just to see if that's what's going on.
When you say cortisol obliterates testosterone, is it like consuming the testosterone, or does it just prevent the production of testosterone?
Well, when you're creating a lot of cortisol, you're in a stress state. You have to remember that testosterone is a thriving hormone. So when you're in a thriving state, you're going to produce a lot more testosterone. That's why when your sex drive goes down, that's nature's way of saying you're not healthy. Don't go procreate, because you're going to make the gene pool worse. It really is when it comes down to it. When your sex drive is really high, that's a sign of nature saying, hey, you're healthy. Go out there. You're going to improve the gene pool. I mean, it's somewhat of an oversimplification, but it's pretty accurate as well.
So what are some ways that you can, I mean, obviously there's, you can go way down the spectrum here. You can go out and take steroids, right? It's going to increase testosterone. Yeah. You can go to a TRT clinic, which is medically supervised. And then you can increase testosterone naturally with like working out, lowering body fat, and it sounds like supplementation. Yeah. So can you walk through those three cases and how they impact the body in different ways?
Well, first, starting with testosterone replacement, the problem with that for some people is that I'm not against testosterone replacement. I think it's very, I think when it is the option, it's the only option, meaning that natural measures are no longer working. Ideally, that should be when you're much older, though. You shouldn't be in your 20s and it's the only option. But what I don't like about testosterone replacement therapy as a first option is that it doesn't take into account what are the imbalances in your life that are creating the low testosterone in the first place. So if a 25-year-old goes and gets his testosterone levels checked and it scores low, and then the doctor says, oh yeah, your testosterone levels are really low, let's start giving you shots every 2 weeks. What about asking questions about sleep quality, personal life stress, nutrition? Because there's always reasons why something is going on. So if a 25-year-old has low testosterone, chances are it's because this person eats a terrible diet, is not sleeping, has mineral deficiencies, is not active, has high levels of body fat. Why don't we address all of those things first and see if that gets your testosterone into an optimal range before doing something really aggressive? And the thing with testosterone replacement therapy too, especially the shots are very suppressive, meaning that once you've been on the shots for several years, you've shut down your own testosterone production, and that can be permanent. And now you have to be on it indefinitely. That's why some people that have done steroids at a young age, you know, testosterone replacement therapy is a steroid. People that have done steroids at a young age have shut down their own production. Now they have to stay on TRT, or they have to start TRT and stay on it indefinitely. So that should be the last resort. That shouldn't be the first thing that anyone thinks of doing. When other methods no longer work, let's take a look at that. And there's ways to do it very safely too. We can get into that if you want. Now, the most important thing you can do naturally to improve your testosterone levels is to make sure your sleep quality is on point. If you get 7 to 9 hours of sleep, now this depends on how active you are. The harder you train, the more sleep you need. The more physically active you are, the more sleep you need. The more you push yourself, the more sleep you need. When you sleep is when your body produces not just testosterone, but growth hormone. And growth hormone is very restorative and important for training and recovery as well. So if your sleep is off, you're not producing testosterone. If you go several days without sleep, your testosterone can dwindle. Now, if you drink alcohol, here's the scary thing about alcohol. Just one drink will shut off your testosterone production for 24 hours. That's one drink. Now, imagine people that have several drinks a night. Alcohol is terrible for hormones. Now, I'm not saying that if you enjoy drinking, drink it, but don't have the illusion that it's remotely healthy, even in moderation. That's one of the biggest myths out there is that, oh yeah, there's the French paradox. Just a glass of wine every night is healthy. No, it's not. Alcohol is not healthy at all. It's not healthy for your liver. It facilitates insulin resistance, which is terrible for hormones, including optimal testosterone levels. And it just obliterates your sex hormone production, in particular, testosterone. Now, what's interesting is that with men, testosterone levels go down with drinking. Oddly enough, for women, their testosterone levels go up. You know, so I'm going to say this is a good recommendation for women who have low testosterone, but it's an interesting how each gender is affected by it. But sleep is the number one thing. Now, the other one thing is nutrition. You want to eat as much real food as possible, whether you're on a vegan diet or whether you eat meat or whatever diet you're on. Focus on real food, meaning minimize overly processed foods. Cut out sugar completely. Sugar is terrible for your hormone production, your sex hormone production. If you eat a lot of sugar, it's going to cause insulin resistance. If you eat a lot of unhealthy fats, that prevents the insulin receptors from working well, which also will cause insulin resistance. So diet is crucial. Sleep is crucial. And then we want to look at vitamin and mineral deficiencies, because zinc, magnesium, selenium, vitamin D, B vitamins, these are all really important for your own sex hormone production. And if you're depleted in zinc and magnesium, you could have low testosterone levels just because of that. A zinc deficiency can cut your testosterone levels in half. Now, this is why it's so important to check these things, because imagine if someone who's 30 goes in to get their testosterone levels checked and it's a low number and the doctor decides, okay, let's put you on TRT. That zinc deficiency is still there. And zinc is not just important for testosterone. It's important for your immune system. A lot of people during COVID, if you had really depleted zinc levels and vitamin D, you were way more susceptible to having serious symptoms with COVID, flu, anything that attacks your immune system.
Fascinating. Wow. So let's say somebody wants to get a test and they want to understand, you know, where their baseline is.
Yeah.
What blood work would you recommend for someone, like if they want to ask their doctor, I need to see what numbers to get a stance of where their testosterone currently sits? You've already mentioned testosterone and estrogen, but what about, you said zinc, magnesium, anything else they would add?
Well, with testosterone, it's important to measure free testosterone levels. Generally, when you get a panel, you'll get total testosterone and free testosterone. Total testosterone is a marker of how much your entire production of testosterone is. But the more important number is free testosterone, because that's what you can actually utilize. Imagine having a bank account where you have $100,000 in it, but you only have access to $5,000. In essence, you only have $5,000, because that other $95,000 doesn't matter. You can't access it. It's kind of like during the dot-com boom. Before I got into the industry, I was working for different internet companies, and all of us got stock options, right? But we couldn't actualize any of these stock options. There were people that were millionaires on paper. They're like, oh man, I got $1 million in stock options. Well, problem is that company went under and way before you could actualize those stock options, and it was completely worthless. So if you can't access, if you can't access it, you don't have it. It doesn't really matter what the number is. It doesn't matter if I have $10 million if I can't access it. It's basically zero. So testosterone is the same way. So let's say you have a really high number of testosterone. 900, for example, is a high number of total testosterone. Now, if we just measure that, we would say, man, your testosterone is through the roof. You're doing great. But if we did, but you could have a free testosterone level that's at the very low end of the range. Now, each testing protocol will be different. There's LabCorp, there's Quest Diagnostics. Using LabCorp, for example, their range for free testosterone is between 8 and 25. So let's say this person with a total testosterone of 900 has a free testosterone of 8, which means you're at the bottom of the range. And this is very common. I see this all the time. If we just looked at total testosterone, we would think this person has exceptional testosterone. But looking at the free testosterone, this person is actually depleted in testosterone. Now, now we have to look at, why is your free testosterone level so low? And it could be because of another marker that's important to measure, and that's sex hormone binding globulin, SHBH, sex hormone binding globulin. Now, sex hormone binding globulin is not nefarious. It's not negative, because it's a transport protein. It's what transports testosterone around your body so it can be utilized, get picked up by androgen receptors. But if you have too much of sex hormone binding globulin, it gets caught up and now it's no longer accessible. So we gotta look at that number and see if it's really high. And if it's really high, then let's get that lower. And that's where supplementation can come in play. Such as my natural testosterone production, my natural testosterone booster has stinging nettle root, which helps unbind testosterone from sex hormone binding globulin and make it more bioavailable. So now you have more access to it. So free testosterone is important. So when you're getting blood work done, you want to get total testosterone measured, free testosterone measured, sex hormone binding globulin measured, and then you want to get estradiol to see what your estrogen levels are. Generally, sometimes when a man has low testosterone levels, he also has low estrogen levels. So it's not always that if you have low testosterone, it's because you're converting too much to estrogen. Often that's more seen with people, with men that are obese. You carry a lot of body fat. But there are men that are, here's the thing that blows people's minds. A lot of people who work out really hard often have lower testosterone levels than people that are sedentary. And the reason why is because you're putting a lot of stress on your body.
Too much cortisol production.
Yeah. Someone like, why do you think someone like Lance Armstrong took testosterone? Now, he's riding a bike. He's not trying to get as muscular as possible. It's because what he was doing was destroying his hormone levels. That Tour de France where you're riding a bike forever, you know, for hours at a really high pace, your testosterone level is obliterated doing something like that. So he was replacing testosterone so that he could recover from all of that.
UFC, so what is fighters, the difference?
Go ahead.
What is the difference between like endurance and weight, right? So like, I think I go to the gym and I lift weights or I'm doing strength like that, right?
Yeah.
Is that increasing the production of testosterone? And then I go on the bike and I do something endurance based, which is activating the muscles, but it's a completely different system, right?
Okay. When you lift weights, you are increasing testosterone as long as you don't go too long. So if you keep your workouts to about an hour or less, you leave that workout with an increase in testosterone. Now, the problem is that increase in testosterone lasts about 30 minutes. And then you go right back to baseline. So you can't use working out as a way to address your low testosterone. What you need is optimal testosterone going into that workout. Then you get the most out of the workout. Every time you go into a workout with low testosterone levels, you're missing out on the benefits you could be maximizing from that training. The ideal situation is that you have high testosterone levels for the most part throughout the day. I mean, every hormone is released in pulses. So unless you're taking... If you take something like TRT, then your testosterone is high 24/7. That's one of the benefits of it. That's why a lot of athletes want to use it, because you're going into a workout with high testosterone. No matter how hard you push it, you're leaving that workout with high testosterone. No matter how much stress you're dealing with in your life, you still have high testosterone because you're replacing it exogenously. That's why it's so effective. But with our natural production, we go in pulses. It can be really high in the morning, a little bit lower in the afternoon, a little bit lower in the evening, then it goes up while you're sleeping, super high in the morning. That's fine. So we get these pulses. So working out is not worthless for increasing testosterone, but we're just getting one pulse from that. It goes up for 30 minutes to an hour after that session, and then you go right back to baseline. So if you have really low testosterone levels, let's say your total testosterone is 200, and I know I just said that free testosterone is more important than total, but just using it as a descriptive mechanism. Let's say your total testosterone level is 200, which is really low, and it goes up to 400 from a really good workout. It's going to be back at 200 within an hour of finishing that workout. So you're not addressing low testosterone is where I'm going with just training. Now, the more you reduce body fat, the better your overall hormonal profile is going to be. But here's the caveat with that. If you have really high estrogen levels, it's difficult to lose body fat, especially stubborn body fat. You have to get that estrogen level low to release some of that stubborn body fat, in particular around the stomach. That's a stubborn fat area for a lot of men, because you tend to hold more water as well when your estrogen levels are too high. But going back to your question about endurance, I've read conflicting data on that. Some people have said that your testosterone levels can actually go up after endurance, but most of the data I see shows that it goes down because your cortisol goes way up. Like if you're going, for example, how long is what's an average bike ride for you when you're training?
I mean, you gotta look at guys that are competitive athletes. I mean, they can be anywhere between 4 to 8 hours on a bike, right?
Right.
I mean, these are super long distance.
Yeah.
I mean, we're moving into we're burning carbohydrates. It depends on what system you're using. A weightlift could use ATP for example, in a quick lift, right? So we have completely different body systems.
Yeah.
So just interesting.
Yeah. So generally, it's going to go down from endurance training because cortisol is going to go up during that whole phase too. Now, the more you carbohydrate load, the more you mitigate that cortisol going up. But if you're pushing yourself for that long, cortisol has to go up to start pulling glucose out of areas to keep your blood sugar from just plummeting during prolonged areas of exercise. So when people hear stuff like that, I'm not saying don't do things you enjoy, but now you have to do countermeasures to make sure you recover from all of that. Going to someone like Dr. Booth is really important. You know, I've been going to him for over 10 years to address injuries, because if you push your body hard, you're going to get beat up. I like to get massages. Massages is one of the most overlooked areas for improving physical performance and improving recovery. When I was really focused on, I had a PR goal of deadlifting 600 pounds a couple of years ago. And so I was deadlifting several times a week, just really dialing it in. I was obsessed with it. Now, I got a massage once a week during that phase, because it was a lot of wear and tear when you're pushing your body that hard. And that made a huge difference, a tremendous difference, because what happens is you're training really hard, you're creating all this inflammation, and if you don't get it addressed, it just accumulates over time. And that's when you become more injury prone. But when you get a really good massage from a therapist who knows what he or she is doing, what they're doing is getting in there, breaking up all that damage, so that you have a new set point going into the next week. Now you're more recovered. Rather, so you're mitigating that accumulation of damage is where I'm going. So you get way better recovery, you're less injury prone, and you're going to have superior performance.
Perfect. So when you say, I think about TRT, right? So TRT, there's about 2 weeks in between shots. You talk about in the morning, you wake up, you have higher testosterone because you've produced it during when you sleep. Is it like a tank? Does it deplete over a certain amount of time, or how does that work?
Well, first, I don't like shots for TRT. That wouldn't be the option I recommend, and here's why. TRT shots are way more suppressive than the creams, and now there's actually oral options that are pretty good. There's one called Native T, which is bioidentical to your own production, and it doesn't have any negative impact on the liver the way prior options for oral testosterone were. Oral testosterone used to be something that no one would recommend because it the first pass was through the liver. It increased your liver enzymes. It could cause liver damage. So it was never recommended. It was either shots or creams. The creams and the new oral versions are nowhere near as suppressive as the shots are. So you're going to get maybe a 50% suppressive, which sounds like a lot, but you can recover from that. So if you use the cream for 6 months and you decide you don't want to do it anymore, there's measures you can take to reboot your own production and you'll be fine. You're not stuck on it for life. Now, the other thing that the shots, though, they shut you down way more. Now, there are some progressive doctors, such as my friend, Dr. Mark Gordon. What he does with anyone that's on TRT, whether it's the shots or the creams or whatever option they choose, he'll run something such as Clomid with it. And Clomid is what a lot of bodybuilders take after a steroid cycle to reboot their own testosterone production. It's basically, it's not a natural compound, it's a medication, but it increases your own production of testosterone. It increases luteinizing hormone in your brain, so your testes get the signal to ramp up testosterone production. But what he does is instead of waiting until after, he runs it with it. And that actually keeps your natural testosterone from shutting down completely. And then the exogenous, whether it's a shot, cream, or oil option, is just additive on top of that. So now if you want to get off TRT, you have the Clomid to keep your natural production back up so that you can get off that completely as well if you want to. Now, the other thing I don't like about the shots are, as you said, usually it's intramuscular, so you'll take it every 2 weeks. So you get a shot. It's a big needle too. That's the other thing that's intimidating. So that's why a lot of men go to these TRT clinics to get they don't want to stick that big needle into their own glutes. I mean, it can be intimidating for someone who doesn't know what they're doing. So that's a good money grab for the TRT clinics, because now you have these men coming in every 10 days to 2 weeks. You have to pay for that service every time you do it. And what happens is your testosterone goes way up the second you get that shot. But then over the course of the week or 2 weeks until your next shot, it steadily goes down. So by the time you're ready to get your next shot, it's way lower than it was when you got it initially. So you're on this roller coaster ride of super high testosterone, and then it gradually goes down, and then it shoots up, gradually goes down. Okay, so it's, and also, who wants to take shots? Who wants to stick a big needle in their glutes for the rest of their life? Now, that's the other thing too. That's why a lot of men often don't last with it. They just get tired with it. They get fatigued with having to deal with the shots. Now, there are people that do subcutaneous shots now, which you would do more frequently, and that's with a very small insulin needle, which most people won't find that intimidating. So that's something you could do at home. You could self-administer. Now, the problem with that is that that gets tiring as well. Who wants to just inject themselves several times a week indefinitely? But it's better than one big shot once a week or every 2 weeks or every 10 days for most people. Okay, so that's the option. That's the other option there. Now, there's some controversy on whether that's effective. Some state that subcutaneous doesn't work. You have to do it intramuscularly. Others state that it's superior. So there's some experimentation someone would have to do to see what works for them. But what I like about the cream is that you just rub it into your skin every day, usually once or twice a day. It absorbs pretty fast. So it's not that invasive, and it's easy to commit to a routine of that. The negative with the cream is that you have to make sure you don't have any physical contact with anyone. So for example, if you don't want to get in bed with your wife or girlfriend right after you put the cream on, because now it's going to transfer right to her, and all of a sudden she's going to grow a mustache. Her face may start breaking out, and she may get really mean. You might get scared of her after a couple of weeks. So you got to be careful with that. So you got to leave it. If you put the cream on in the morning, I think probably about an hour or so, you'd be okay. And then you put it on before bedtime. You just have to time it where you're putting it on at a time where you're not really going to have physical contact with anyone. And that's not as difficult as it sounds. The problem with the cream is that for with men, it converts rapidly into another hormone called DHT, dehydrotestosterone. Now, dehydrotestosterone in some ways is way more powerful than testosterone. It's actually more, it actually increases sex drive way more so than testosterone does. Testosterone is basically a pro-hormone for DHT, meaning DHT is the end of the line. Testosterone can convert into estrogen or DHT, but DHT cannot convert into estrogen. That's it. So no matter how high your DHT levels go, it's not going to convert into estrogen and cause any of those kind of side effects. The problem with DHT, though, is that if you have a predisposition to hair loss, it's going to accelerate that. If you don't, then it probably won't. So if you weren't going to lose your hair anyway and your DHT goes up, you're probably not going to have any hair loss. But let's say you're in your early 30s and you're losing, your hair starting to get a little bit thin. And maybe by your 40s or early 50s, you would have had significant hair loss. If you increase your DHT really high in your early 30s, you're going to accelerate that process. So you're going to lose your hair much sooner. Now, there's ways to block that naturally or with medications. So you can see this stuff starts getting fairly complex with this, because this is the problem with any kind of medication is you take it, you get these benefits, but then there's a side effect and now you have to address that. Yeah. So anyway, with the cream, you want to make sure you measure DHT. Not everyone's DHT is going to go through the roof, and not everyone's DHT is going to be problematic, meaning that it causes issue with hair loss. Now, the other problem with DHT is that, and this is somewhat, there's somewhat some controversy over this as well, is that it can cause prostate issues. It can cause your prostate to enlarge. Now, there's some data that states that it's actually really healthy for your prostate. There was a study with men in Italy where, and they were already losing their hair, so they didn't really care too much about that. But they put them on DHT cream, you know, not testosterone cream, DHT cream. And they started losing their hair, but none of these men wanted to get off it because their sex drive was through the roof and their confidence was through the roof. They felt great. They're like, who cares about losing hair? I haven't felt this good since I was a teenager. And they also noticed that their urination stream actually increased in strength, meaning that their prostate was actually getting smaller, not getting bigger. Because if it were getting bigger, then you would have trouble urinating. You're not going to get an increase in urination stream if your DHT levels are going higher or if your prostate is getting enlarged. So these are just things to keep in mind with different. And the other thing with DHT is that if you had a lot of acne as a teenager, you may start getting a lot of acne again. And that could be really disconcerting. You know, that's one of the real negative side effects. That's why sometimes you see men that are clearly on anabolics and all that, and they have the back knee, they have all this acne on their back and their shoulders and all that. And you know, most men are not going to want to deal with that. Who wants to have a high sex drive, but then you look like you're breaking out like a teenager. You know, it's like you're going back in time. It's like, wait a minute, look, I have wrinkles. Okay. I don't want acne and wrinkles. It's gotta be one.
No, not at all.
So anyway, all of these things can be mitigated. A lot of times it's dose related. So if you're experiencing these kind of side effects, you just need to lower the dose. So there's some experimentation that goes with this. I just like people to be warned with what potential side effects are. Now, the more interesting thing that is developed fairly recently are oral options that look like they're pretty good. There's one called Kysotrex. That's the brand name for it. But the one that looks best is, I only see it available at a company called Maximus. And Maximus is, they're not a TRT clinic, but they provide doctor consults and prescriptions online for things such as enclomiphene, which is a medication that can ramp up your own production of testosterone. So they like to use that in place of TRT because instead of shutting down your own production, you're ramping up your own production. But they also came out with something called Native T. I mean, they didn't create Native T. Native T is something that I forget the name of the company that created it. But Native T is bioidentical to the testosterone you make in your body. And that's another important thing. The testosterone shots are not bioidentical. They're chemicals. So testosterone cypionate is one of the common shots that happens here. So it's not identical to the testosterone that your body produces. And in my opinion, if you're going to do any kind of testosterone replacement, you want it to be as close to what your body recognizes as the real thing, as natural as possible, because you're going to have way less side effects. You're not going to have a negative impact on cholesterol. The cream actually improves HDL cholesterol, which is a good thing. The shots lower HDL cholesterol, which is a bad thing. So I like testosterone replacement measurement or protocols that are more in line with your natural physiology, what your natural physiology is going to recognize as the real thing so that there's as few negatives as possible. So the native tea, I don't know as much about it as the cream and other models, but that one looks really intriguing to me. And that one, obviously, the benefit there is you're just taking a capsule once a day, so you don't have to worry about transfer to anyone else. So that one looks like a pretty good option too.
So what is the main difference between like a TRT shot and like an anabolic steroid that you would take? How are they different? Is it a different structure? I'm assuming it's not native tea.
Well, anabolic steroids are made from testosterone or DHT, and they just modify it in a certain ways so that you can accelerate. So basically your anabolics modify the androgenic effects of it so that you're getting the more desired outcomes, such as an increase in strength, an increase in muscle mass, as opposed to you're taking the parts out that are not anabolic and emphasizing the parts that are anabolic. So instead of things such as like DHT can cause a lot of hair growth. So you get your shoulders will get hairier, your back will get hairier. Now with the modified steroids, you're isolating the components that are more in line with androgens. So another example would be something called SARMs that are big right now. And SARMs are selective androgen receptor modulators. So what they do with that is these SARMs work on the androgen receptors in a very favorable way. So you're getting the increases in strength and muscle mass you want while minimizing the other side effects you would get. Now, the problem with SARMs is that's a whole other discussion. They're basically gray area compounds. You could go online and buy it right now. It's not technically legal. That's why they say for research purposes only. That's what it'll say on the bottle. But clearly, they're selling it to you, not a lab rat. This is just totally a legal loophole that they have found. But the whole point of SARMs was to say, let's modify these compounds so that we're just getting the desired outcome in terms of improving or training or improving bone growth, muscle growth, increasing strength, and minimizing the other side effects that are there. But the problem is those things have side effects as well. And that's a whole topic.
Yeah, lots of anabolic side effects for sure.
Yeah.
Tell me about what you're doing then. You're doing supplementation. So talk about specifically how the supplements work and how they differ from these TRT or like an anabolic.
Yeah, sure. Okay, so my flagship product is called Aggressive Strength Testosterone Booster. And that's exactly what it is. It's a natural testosterone booster. Now, it has three herbal ingredients. One's called Bulbine natalensis, which is a South African herb. And that herb is by far the most potent herb to increase your own natural testosterone production. Actually, the three most potent herbs are all from South Africa. Bulbine natalensis, Fadogia, and one's called Mosolaria acuminata. Now, I only have Bulbine in mine. Now, some will say, why don't you stack all three of those South African herbs? Well, they all work the same way. So, and then if you stack all three, it's basically redundant. You might as well take the strongest one out of those three and just use that. Now, the other thing is that Bulbine natalensis, as well as the other two herbs, they work on a bell curve, meaning more is not better. So if you take too much, it'll actually lower your testosterone. If you take just the right amount, it increases it exactly where you want to go. So if you stack Bulbine with these other two African herbs, it's going to have that bell curve effect. So it's better to use one at a time. So I use Bulbine in mine because that's the strongest. And from what I've seen, doesn't have the side effects that some of the others can have. Like Fadogia, and this was a rat study, and you always want to put that in quotes as a caveat, because a lot of times what happens with animal studies does not happen with humans. But with Fadogia, it was shown that it makes your testicles produce so much testosterone that your body can't keep up, and then you actually shut down. You know, it just ramps it way too. And obviously, that's not a desirable outcome that you want. So what I've seen with people that take Fadogia is that their luteinizing hormone goes really high, and their testosterone goes high too. But luteinizing hormone is a hormone that your brain sends to your testes to signal more testosterone production. The ideal situation is that your luteinizing hormone is in range, ideally in the middle, and your testosterone is high. Now, if it's off the scales, that means your body's working really hard to produce testosterone. And if that stays prolonged, if you're in that accelerated state for too long, it's possible that your testes won't be able to keep up with that, and then it could have a negative effect. Now, I haven't seen that with Bulbon. Bulbon, what happens is you see a luteinizing hormone in the middle range, sometimes in the higher end, but not off the scale. And then you see a really good total testosterone and, more importantly, free testosterone. So I really like Bulbon. There's some rat data showed that it may have a negative impact on lipids. I've been selling this product for well over 10 years. My cholesterol is perfect. I've never had anyone report cholesterol levels that are on the high end. And the only reason why cholesterol would go up is temporarily, because your body uses cholesterol to make sex hormones. So what happens is cholesterol gets concentrated in the testes, and cholesterol is basically the father of all sex hormones. Cholesterol is the building blocks for testosterone and every other sex hormone. So cholesterol, you want that cholesterol to convert into testosterone, and that's what Bulbon does, which is why often people's cholesterol levels come down with it. So it's actually a good thing. Sometimes people have really high cholesterol levels because it's a desperate attempt for their body to try to produce sex hormones. Unfortunately, it's to no avail. So it's just building up. It's just accumulating. Now, the other two herbs I have is one's called stinging nettle root that I mentioned before. And what stinging nettle root does is it doesn't increase total testosterone, but it increases free testosterone by unbinding it from sex hormone binding globulin. So your free testosterone levels go up. And what's great about free testosterone also is that only free testosterone can penetrate the blood-brain barrier and convert into DHT. Now, having your brain have higher levels of DHT is the most desirable way to have elevated DHT, because that's what gives you the higher sex drive, the drive to accomplish, your confidence, all of that comes from that. What you don't want is just a ton of DHT floating around your bloodstream, because that's what can cause issues such as the oily skin and possibly prostate issues. Now, the other herb, the final herb, is called Makuna prurines, which is an Indian herb. It's an Ayurvedic herb. What I like about Makuna is that not only does it increase testosterone in a similar way to what Bulbon does, it increases luteinizing hormone, but more importantly, it increases a neurohormone called dopamine. And dopamine is our motivational neurotransmitter. Dopamine is what makes us want to get out there and achieve things and pursue goals. One of the big problems we see with society right now is that people are dopamine depleted from engaging in activities that just obliterate your dopamine. And for examples are something like social media. If you go on Instagram and you're posting constantly and you're getting likes, every time that happens, you're getting an increase in dopamine. And then the more you do it, the more dopamine is increased, to the point where you become desensitized to dopamine, where now you may be less motivated to actually acquire things in the real world, because why put all the effort into a 4-hour bike ride or a 600-pound deadlift or increasing your income? Those are things that require real effort when you can get a dopamine hit from just taking a picture of yourself or posting something on social media. Now, it's not just dopamine that you get from posting and attention from others. Just scrolling and liking, no matter what it is, that also gives you a dopamine hit. So basically, we're getting all of these dopamine hits all day long without requiring any real effort. And it's the dopamine hit that you get from activities that require effort that are the most impactful and beneficial. Like, one thing I do for cardio is I have this elliptical trainer at my house. So I do interval training twice a week on it. Now, I don't enjoy this at all. I never look forward to it. Every time I'm on it, there's that voice in your head saying, hey, you don't have to do this today. You could just stop right now. You don't have to do 30 minutes. Just stop at 10. But I always push through that, and I always feel like $1 million afterwards, because you push through something you didn't want to do, and now you're getting a reward for that. That's way more beneficial than me just getting on social media and doing something that requires no effort to get attention and get this illusory dopamine type experience. But what I like, going back to my long-winded story to segue to go back to why I have this ingredient in my product, Makuna prurines, that increases your own production of dopamine and it increases dopamine sensitivity, so that your ability to utilize the dopamine you have is more pronounced. And that's why a lot of times people notice the effects on the first dosage. They go, man, I took your product and I felt the increase in drive right away. Now, that's not from the other two herbs, because that takes a couple of weeks to really notice anything, the increase in testosterone. But what they're getting is the Makuna is increasing your dopamine. A lot of times people notice it on the first dosage, especially if you're dopamine depleted. And that's highly motivating. One of the reasons why people love coffee is that coffee increases dopamine as well.
Huh. So what percentage of testosterone increase do you see when people use your supplements?
Well, I mean, it varies across the board, but most users will experience a 100% increase. That would be the low end. I've had people experience a 300% increase. If you look at the testimonials on the page, you see people going from a total testosterone of 300 to 900, 400 to 800. That kind of thing is fairly common. So again, and then the most important thing is you get a 50 to 100% increase in free testosterone. That's the most important thing. Wow. Not everyone gets their blood levels measured though. So it's hard. I don't want to say, oh yeah, 99% of people who use it get this increase. But of the people that have reported back, it's pretty pronounced. It's pretty profound. Now, if it doesn't work for you, that's usually a sign that TRT may be something you want to consider looking into with a doctor. Now, I don't say that flippantly. I'm not saying that if you're 25 and my product doesn't work for you, it's time to get on TRT. But it's if my product increases your luteinizing hormone, okay, and you still have low testosterone levels, that means natural methods are not going to work for you. And now then the journey becomes, okay, why isn't a natural method working for you? Let's dig deeper into this whole thing. That can take a long time. So depending on how bad someone feels or how miserable they are in that moment, because if you have really low testosterone as a man, you feel terrible. You don't want to do anything. You have no drive to do anything. You don't want to get up in the morning. Everything feels like an arduous task. It's really difficult to get through. Sometimes men find that if they use TRT during a really difficult phase in their life, such as after a divorce or death of a loved one, you use it for 8 weeks just to help get you through that period, and then you get off, that can be really beneficial.
Wow. So when you look at the supplementation, there's nothing in there that is illegal, right?
No,
it's not like you, if you're an athlete, you're not going to get busted for this. It's all
no, natural. Absolutely not.
Okay. No, and then if I look at, we've talked a lot about on the podcast, the concept of abundance versus scarcity and how it goes into longevity. So one of the things we've talked about is that people who take a lot of like anabolic steroids, you're putting yourself in a state of abundance, but from a longevity perspective, it impacts the body long-term and you actually end up doing harm. TRT, I'm assuming, is kind of in that category. If you're increasing your testosterone naturally through supplementation, is that doing anything from a longevity perspective? Is it creating an abundance, or is it a healthy way to increase testosterone from a longevity perspective?
It's definitely going to improve your, it definitely, testosterone is very important for longevity. So the longer you can keep your natural testosterone production at an optimal level, the better it is for you, because testosterone goes way beyond just physical performance and your sex drive. Testosterone is very important for heart health, organ health, you name it. And it's very important for mood. So if you have really depleted testosterone levels for a long time, that's going to have a profound effect on your longevity. There's no doubt about it.
Okay. And then how connected is testosterone to inflammation?
Well, testosterone is definitely connected to inflammation for sure. And the reason why is that when your testosterone levels are optimal, you're in a thriving state, which means that you're less likely to have really high cortisol levels. Now, you have to look at cortisol as an anti-inflammatory, meaning that every time you have inflammation, cortisol goes up to lower that inflammation. So the key is, how do we keep inflammation low so we don't have to have that cortisol response to it? Mm-hmm. And something like testosterone helps keep cortisol in check. But more importantly than testosterone is DHEA, which is another hormone that's very important. So when I look at hormones, I look at hormone optimization, and that's the balance of all the major hormones. So as important as testosterone is, there are precursors to testosterone, pregnenolone and DHEA, which are also exceptionally important. DHEA is basically testosterone's big brother. DHEA keeps cortisol in check so that cortisol doesn't deplete testosterone. So often DHEA was marketed as a testosterone booster in the 90s, and it didn't pan out for that. It's a couple metabolic steps away from testosterone. So I wouldn't recommend DHEA to someone to increase their low testosterone. But what they didn't realize is that, forget about DHEA's impact on testosterone. What's important about DHEA in and of itself, it keeps cortisol levels in check, and it has a positive impact on keeping excess inflammation levels lower as well. Very important for that. And it's also really important for your immune system. And pregnenolone is crucial for your brain health. So it's keeping all of the hormones in a nice balance that has a very positive impact on inflammation. And that's why your diet is so important, because if you're eating an inflammatory diet, not only do you have high levels of inflammation, but anytime you have high levels of inflammation, it's going to have a really negative impact on your hormones. Mm-hmm. So it's keeping your hormones optimal has a positive impact on keeping your inflammation levels in the ideal ranges, and keeping your inflammation in the ideal ranges, not too low, not too high, has a positive impact on your hormones.
Okay. That's amazing. If somebody wants to learn more about you and what you do, is everything you do online? Like you consults? Like how does that work?
I do consults sometimes. I don't have consults advertised on my website, but a lot of times people reach out to me and then I will engage on that. So if someone's interested in a consult, here's what I recommend though. Don't spend a dime on anything that I have right now. What I want you to do is go to my website, mikemahler.com. I have tons of free stuff there for people to take advantage of. So you can look into all of these things I just said and educate yourself on a lot of stuff. I mean, I have so much free information on my website that if you actually went through all of it, you wouldn't need to do a consult with me.
Yeah.
Because, you know, and that's good because I want people to have this information. It's like, look, don't get me wrong. I run a business. I want to make a good income. Okay. But I also want to help people. I didn't get into the fitness industry for the same reasons why people become a stockbroker or an investment banker. Right. You know, I got into the fitness industry because it's had a profound effect on my mental health and my physical health. And I know how important it is. And I want people to have access to this information.
Yep.
So look at all the free information that I have. When you go to my website, you'll see a pop-up box for a free report. It's basically called Everything You Want to Know About Testosterone. And that's exactly what it is. So you sign up for that report, sign up for my newsletter, go check out my podcast where I've had many experts on this topic come on. I've got so much content, YouTube clips, articles, podcasts on Apple Podcasts, you name it. On my Instagram, there's a lot of clips. Go look at all the free information I have, because what happens is I think you're going to realize I'm a credible source for all of this, and you will be excited to buy my products and other things after looking into what I have to do. So mikemahler.com, everything you want to know is there.
Cool. And when do you recommend somebody actually seek some help? Like if they get their testosterone back and, you know, you say it can range from 300 to 1200.
Yeah.
You're at 1200 and you got good free testosterone. Yeah. Probably not needing to take much, right?
Yeah. You're probably not going to get measured. Yeah. See, that's the thing. The other thing about measurements is you have to look at what you see is a statistical range. So when you look at a blood test, so 300 to 1200, that's a statistical range of everyone who's actually gotten the test. Now, who gets the test? Is it people with high testosterone levels that are just curious to see what it is? No, it's mainly people that are probably not feeling optimal. Yeah, exactly. So issues. So I think, so some people need to be way beyond that statistical range is where I'm going. That's the interesting thing too. That's why it's not as simple as, well, like, look, you're at 800, 900. You're as high as 1200. That person may need to be at 1500. You just don't know.
Yeah.
See, the bottom line is if you have a low sex drive and you have a low mood, whatever your testosterone level is, it's not enough. It's not enough for you. You know, there are men who are at a total testosterone of 400, which would be low for me, but they feel great because there's no reason for them to lie. They're coming to me for advice. Why would you lie to me when you're coming to me for advice? Like if you have a low sex drive and you feel terrible and then you're paying me to look at your blood work, why would you lie and say that you don't have that? You know? It's like, why are you trying to impress me? You know, it doesn't make any sense. So there are men who are like, hey, look, my total testosterone is 400 and my free testosterone is in the middle, not super high, not super low, but I feel great. I was like, good. You don't need to do anything. Just keep going.
So that's
the thing is that when we look at these statistical ranges, we have to realize when we look at these reference ranges, rather, we have to realize that's a statistical range. That's why it's terrible when a doctor looks at someone's range. And if you fall into it, they go, oh, yeah, you're in the normal range. Well, normal doesn't mean optimal. Who cares about the normal range? We want to know what the optimal range is. And some men, even when they get on TRT, they have to go way beyond that statistical range to actually experience any real benefits. And one other thing is that you have to realize that, look, when you experience high testosterone levels for the first time, when you're going through puberty, okay, that's the first time you've ever experienced high testosterone levels. So you're very sensitized to it. That's why you're going to, you know, your sex drive through the roof and, you know, every woman you see looks attractive. That's because this is the first time you've ever experienced an increase in these hormones. Now, what if you've had that same testosterone level for 20 years? You're going to become desensitized to that. So that's why a man can be 50 and his total testosterone is 700, which is a great number. And let's say his free is 16 on a scale of 8 to 25. Again, great number. But maybe that's been your level for the last 20 years. And as a result of that, you know, because I oftentimes I have men come to me and their testosterone levels are good. And they're like, you know what? I just don't have a sex drive like when I was 15. I was like, well, you're not going to at 50. Why would you have a sex drive like you were when you were 15? Because it's kind of like drive. When you drive a car for the first time, you're very cognizant of like, okay, let me look in the rearview mirror. Let me do this. Let me brake. After a while, it just becomes automatic. When you've been driving for a long time, a lot of times you get somewhere, you don't even remember how you got there because it's so automatic. Your subconscious mind just takes over. Your conscious mind doesn't even have to be involved half the time. You're just daydreaming as you go along. You know, hormones can be like that too. You become desensitized because you've been at that level for a long time. And now you may need to go way higher than that to get back to that feeling if that's what you want. You just have to make sure where there's no negative side effects, because anytime you take something really high, there could be potential negatives. So anyway, I don't want to go on into too much complexity. I just want people to be aware of things when they're going on this pathway, because there is a high level of complexity that's unavoidable with it.
Yeah. No, amazing. Listen, I really appreciate you being on the show. This has been an awesome show on testosterone, and I think it's super helpful. So
thank you.
Thanks, appreciate man. I'll put some of your stuff in the show notes, and we'll be in touch, I'm sure.
Sounds good. Yeah, I appreciate it, John. That's it. Thanks a lot. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening to Faster. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it. Leave a review or teach a friend what you learned today. For more great episodes on getting faster, subscribe to this podcast. While you're on your next ride, be kind to one another and ride safe.